Buccaneers fans, here he is, the mighty sage of Tampa Bay sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman, that's not me, I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com, Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is not here with us today on this unique episode of the Ira Kaufman podcast, but of course the sage is here. And he's all fired up. He's ready. He's raring to go. He's also driving around in his 2020 cherry red Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. You too can drive a fantastic vehicle from Bill Curry Ford. So many 0% financing offers right now, Ira. It is extraordinary. 0%. And that's a big deal in this environment. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com. C-U-R-R-I-E. That's the family name. For example, Sage, 2022 Ford Edge and Mustang get 0% for 72 months. How do you like that?
I was just in a Ford Edge a couple of weeks ago. It's a tremendous ride. Tremendous.
BillCurryFord.com, mile north of Raymond James Stadium, nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, fantastic pre-owned selection. On top of everything, you get the Ira Kaufman discount. All you have to do is ask General Manager Sean Sullivan. You can find him on email, call him up in the dealership most of the time. BillCurryFord.com. We love Bill Curry Ford. And our thanks to Big Storm Beer. That's the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Beer, Florida's best craft beer. Brewed locally, tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Cape Coral, Orlando at the Amway Center, and upstairs in Centro Ybor at Ybor City. Great food on the menu, fantastic food. Each location has a slightly different menu, so check them out at BigStormBrewery.com or follow them on social media for specials and live music. Big Storm Brewery, and pick your location, Odessa, Clearwater, Orlando. You'll find them on social media and try that Bromosa, their top seller, the Tangerine IPA. They've got so many great spirits too, award-winning, BigStormBrewery.com. And Sage, storm season is here. Your plan has to include Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration, you must know who to call when disaster strikes, flood, fire, mold, storm damage. Don't be a fool. They know what they're doing. Get to their website today, floridaselite restoration.com. Learn about their services so you are ready. We'll talk about them later. Ira, Sage, I did something a little wacky. You want to know what I did, Ira?
I'm afraid to ask, Stevie.
In the middle of the night, it's when the hardest of the hardcore readers are reading the site, I put out a special call for questions for Ira that would be on a podcast. Anything goes. Ask Ira whatever you want. And I knew that, hey, if I do it at that time of day, you know what? It's going to be some real serious Bucks fans hitting up the Sage, and we're going to answer those questions today. I didn't run it very long, Ira, but you know what? I got a dozen questions, which is pretty good. Two of them that were kind of profane, so they didn't make the cut. So we got 12 out of 14 made the cut. And, of course, we have some other Bucks news to talk about, Sage, but how are you?
I'm doing well, Steve. Were any of the questions asked about my grade point average at Brooklyn College in 1975? Steve, any of them?
No, nobody's going there on the GPA.
Okay.
Well, you know what? I'll ask you a quick question, Ira. College 1975, and what do they mail you, your report card? Or how does that work?
You would give an envelope to the professor, and then, about a week after the classes ended, maybe in May, a self-addressed envelope, and they mail you back the card, which you grade on it. One I'll never forget, Steve, is I was a really good math student, as you know. Took those math regents, 98, 99, 100. Even took calculus in high school my last year. And then I get to Brooklyn College, freshman, college calculus. How bad can that be? I already got all the background done, the preliminary work. I almost flunked it, Steve. I got a D. I got a 65 on the final. And I'll never forget I opened up the envelope and the guy gave me a D, 65, and a comment. You better take this class again, Ira. You don't know what you're doing. I avoided the F, Steve. I avoided the F, and then it was clear sailing from there.
All right, Sage. Well, I'm going to give you a chance to give a grade before we get to the questions. Wednesday, the Buccaneers announced practice training camp dates open for viewing. The translation is nine dates will be open to season ticket holders and specialty groups. a specialty group. They have a women's day. They've got a military day, kids and community day. But the other ones are open to season ticket holders. And there is one date, the last date, Monday, August 14th, open to the general public. That's a change. We were calling for to open up at least one practice to the average Joe. They used to have all of them open to the regular guy to come and see this team, you know, let everybody who wants to bond with the club. So your thoughts?
I think it's an unfortunate trend, Steve, that's going on at One Buck Place in that regard. They got such a great facility, plush fields, tremendous indoor facility. Show it off. Show it off to the general public. Instead, everything is the last couple of years been catered to the crew members. Look, I understand that, Steve. They want to build up that season ticket base. That's guaranteed money rather than single game tickets where you don't know if people are going to come to a particular game. I understand that, Steve, but the fact is other teams throughout the league are opening up a large segment of training camp towards the general public, and the Bucks are going in the other direction. Now, look, I'd rather have one open practice than none, which is what we had in 2022, but I'd like to see more open to the general public. There's a lot of Buck fans out there, Steve. You know, they're struggling. They can't get season tickets. They can't do it. I think you got to be a little sympathetic towards some of the diehards that are going through tough times.
I agree with you, Ira, and I'll want to throw this out there because I think it's important, and I know the question will arise. The first training camp date open to the season ticket holders, that is Sunday, July 30th. Now that, I can almost guarantee, that's not the start of training camp. Last year, the Buccaneers opened training camp on Wednesday, July 27th. They went for four consecutive days, had Sunday off, and came back Monday, August 1st. Around the league, training camps are opening July 26th, Wednesday this year, or Thursday, July 27th. And based on the Bucks' schedule here, I'm guessing it seems that they will practice Wednesday, July 26th, and then Thursday and Friday, 27th and 28th, and then take Saturday off and come back Sunday for that first practice for the fans, season ticket holders, Sunday, July 30th. In pads and go 3 days, and then because they can't go all these days in a row. So this is not the first day of training camp, but it will be the first day open for fans, Sage.
You know, what's interesting about that, Steve, is that's a lot of practices without a padded practice. Usually, you know, you would think maybe it's the second day of camp, third day of camp. I forgot what the rules are. It might be the third day of camp. Here, that you know, they might be getting three or four practices in before a padded practice, which is, you know, when we really start honing in on what's going on in training camp. But I think you're right, Steve. I think they're going to open camp in the middle of that week, but that will not be open to even season ticket holders till the weekend.
No, it'll just be some fancy VIPs walking around, Ira. You know how that goes. All right. So that's the deal with training camp. You know, I'd love to see more, Ira. You know, Lee and I have had our battles with the team on this. We talked about it on a previous podcast. Lee was actually very, a little bit understated in our discussion with the Bucks on this. You know, they called us and we kind of let them have it. You know, we weren't going to back down from, it was, you know, not a pretty conversation because we're just being straight with what we thought and what we were putting out there. There's still a chance that they can open up an extra day. There are more days than what's been given. You know, we'll see how it goes. But one's better than nothing. And I hope and encourage everybody who can get out there on Monday, August 14th, make the plan now. Take the day off if you have to, or half a day, and you know, have some fun out there and support the Bucks.
And they can wish me a happy birthday, Steve, because it'll be 3 days later, but I'll still be in a celebratory mood, Steve.
Yeah, Ira will be taking a cake and presents for the whole month of August. And, you know, don't hesitate.
What you got for me, Steve? What you got?
All right, Ira. On these questions, regarding these questions, I'm going to choose which ones I use, but do you want something personal first, or would you prefer to go football?
Give me something personal first, Stevie.
Something personal. All right. I should have organized these better, but that's fine. Okay, here's one. Ira, why did you move to Newport Richey 40 years ago when you worked in Tampa and loved the beach?
We actually lived in Largo when we first moved to Florida in 1985. We lived in a swinging singles complex on Rosary Road for 2 years. I made the classic mistake, Steve, just the classic, you know, rube mistake from an Easterner coming down south. We had a duplex and then, you know, the bedroom window looked out over the pool. the community pool. I didn't think much of it. I'm near the tennis court. I'm near the pool. Great location. And lo and behold, Steve, within a couple of months, I realized what a big mistake it was. 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not making this up. On a Tuesday night, 12 people around the pool, partying, drinks everywhere, people diving in. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, Steve. You know, I got to get up in the morning and see Lehman Bennett, you know, to get what's going on with the Bucks. And it just drove me crazy. So we had to get out of there after a couple of years. And then Sam was born in 86. And we looked for a place to bring him up. And we didn't have a lot of money at that time. And you know, we got a better deal. You know, you go 25 miles north, you get more value. And so we've been there ever since. Got a network of friends, got my tennis people.
I won't even press you on this swinging singles description, but we kind of get the idea. I imagine that back in those days, some the cops were called a few times and there were some wild nights.
You can take that to the bank, Steve.
This one is a little personal, but it gets into football. We'll drift into the football mode. Ira, who is the best Tampa Bay journalist or media member you've ever worked with or known as far as how they did their job and what they accomplished?
Oh, that's a tough one. I mean, I was at the Trib for 25 years. Now I respected a lot of my peers at other publications. You know, there were some good ones, no question about it. Gary Shelton was a fine writer, columnist for the Tampa Bay Times. But I'm going to focus on my compatriots at the Tribune. Martin Fennelly as a columnist. Steve, he did the toughest thing you can do, which is make people laugh on the printed page. And there's nothing worse than trying that and coming up flat. But Fennelly did it consistently. Quite a character. He's the closest thing, I think, to Robin Williams with his mind. Joe Henderson comes to mind in terms of versatility. He could do anything. Finally, I would say Joey Johnston, you know, could do anything. Tennis, Olympics, whatever you wanted. Just a great guy at developing relationships. Now he's doing a lot of stuff with USF. So those are the three that come to mind. We had a heck of a staff in Tampa.
All right, Sage, I didn't even make the top three, but that's okay. That's okay. There's always next year. I still got time. All right, Ira, let's move on a little bit to this question here. Do you think Todd Bowles coaches any differently this season? Yeah, he made changes to the staff, but will he coach differently?
Yes, he will. And I wouldn't blame him one bit if he does. Why is that, Steve? Because he's coaching for his future. Now, look, he's always going to be able to get a job as a defensive coordinator in this league. You know it, I know it, and he knows it. That's not the issue. He pined to be a head coach in the NFL, and he's gotten his chance now. And he's out to avoid a fifth straight losing season, which would probably mark the end of his tenure in Tampa. And realistically, his last chance to be a head coach in the National Football League. So the sense of urgency is paramount. It's overwhelming in 2023. He knows that. The Glazers are watching every move. And I don't think he's going to let things slip. And by that, I mean, I think there were times last year, many times, when he didn't really agree with what was going on with the offense. They were throwing too often for his taste. They're averaging 18 points a game. Obviously, it wasn't working. But I think he basically let Leftwich do his thing. And ultimately, it didn't work. And this year, I think he and Canales are on the same page, but they don't know each other that well. They've never worked with each other, Steve. So if things go a little bit awry early in the season with the offense, I think Bowles is not going to hesitate to march right into Canales' office and impose his will, so to speak, on this offense and make some firm suggestions, which I don't think he did enough last year. I think he let things slide on the other side of the ball. That's not going to happen this year.
I think I'll stick in there, Ira, that we hope he let things slide, because if he was in there giving firm suggestions, that's actually worse. So we're going to go with what you said, Sage. All right, let me stick to football here, and we'll go to this one. If Baker Mayfield has a decent year, not great, but middle of the pack in the NFL, do you think the Bucs would hesitate to pay him average starter money, which is now $30 million or so?
I think they'd like to put that off to see if he could stay consistent beyond one season. Now, here's the conundrum. You know, if Mayfield has a pretty good season, that means, you know, the Bucs are probably not going to go 5-12 and not be in a position, an elite prospect at quarterback, which the 2024 draft might have 2, 3, 4 guys that really jump out. So I don't know. Paying Mayfield $30 million based on one pretty good season at one buck place, I'd have to swallow hard on that. I'd like to see him do it again because he's coming from such a low point, Steve. That 2020 season is well in his rearview mirror with the Browns. You know, he's got to resurrect himself. I think you got to do it for more than 1 year to get the big money.
It's kind of a tough question, Ira, because Geno Smith is a one big season guy, and right. He got a good contract, but ultimately he's not making that much. He's earning, I think, $25 million a year or so. So it's not a ton of money, but he's also older and had a longer track record of not doing anything. I don't know. It would be an interesting spot for Mayfield. Smith got a 3-year, $75 million deal. But if Mayfield, like the questioner said, is pretty good, but not great, I don't know. It'd be hard for the Bucs not to pay him $30 million. But like you said, I think they'd have to swallow hard and think about that.
Well, Steve, if he had a year like Geno Smith had last year, which I think it was short of spectacular,
yeah.
but it was a hell of a year.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, 30-11, you know, touchdowns to interceptions and 70% completions. I could see 3 years for $75 million. You know, Steve, you got to pay the price, you know, that it costs to play the game right now. And that price has gone up exorbitantly.
Yeah, I could see them paying Mayfield like a 2 year, $60 million with some outs, something like that. But they'd be in a tough spot if he was pretty good and they wanted to bring him back. All right. Hopefully he's just great. And that's that. All right. Now, I guess this flies into our next question, Ira, because we're sitting here making Mayfield the presumptive starter. The question is, why do you think the media is biased against Kyle Trask and his chances at the starting job?
They're not biased against Kyle Trask. You know, I don't have anything against Kyle Trask, but I'm trying to look at the thing as objectively as I can, Steve. And the facts are the facts. Mayfield has had success in this league. 2020 is not 15 years ago. It's 2020. He was healthy, which he was not in 2021. And 2022 is a whole different story. He had no chance in Carolina and didn't play a lot for the Rams. So Trask has thrown 9 passes, Steve. Those are the facts. And Bowles, as we said, the sense of urgency for Bowles. Can I go with Trask? Can I? If I have to, I will. But Mayfield's experience gives him a leg up, Steve. That's just the way it is. He's done things in this league. Trask has not. And that doesn't mean Trask can't win the job in training camp. But they're not starting from the same place, Steve. That's understood. And Trask will have to outplay him, perhaps by a significant margin. And that has nothing to do with anybody that's anti-Gator or anti-Trask. It's just the dynamics of what's going on right now.
All right, Sage. Do you think the Glazers right now have a plan in place to replace Todd Bowles if the team doesn't show progress? For example, do they have coach candidates picked out already with Jason Light?
I'd be disappointed if they do. I'd be a little disappointed. I mean, Steve, it's June. The bullets don't fly, so to speak, for another 2.5 months. Do you really have to go in, you know, thinking that Bowles is going to fail? Do you? Now, I'm not saying you wait till, you know, December, 22nd to start sniffing around if things go off the rails. We're going to know, Steve. We're going to know. And if they're 3-7, you know, boom. You expand the search, you intensify. Light will be in on it. Ultimately, it's going to be the Glazers' call. I don't, you know, you can say whatever you want about Jason Light, but when it comes to the head coach of their organization, the face of the franchise, so to speak, especially without Brady being around, that's when the Glazers take charge. That's when they swoop in. They did it after they fired Dungy. They took over. Rich McKay was on the sidelines. He didn't hire John Gruden. the Glazers did. Middle of the season, Steve, you reassess. I don't think you have to go look at coaches in late June.
All right, Sage, it is a little early, but I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they had some sort of, hey, let's just have a meeting, let's talk about it, and then let's put it in the vault for hopefully forever. And
I think it sends a bad vibe, Steve. Not that Bowles is going to find out about it, or the players are going to find out about it. But why go in with that mindset? It's a little self-defeating to me.
Oh, it certainly is. But I'm not saying they wouldn't do it. All right, Ira. Let's see. Let me go to this one. What's your early prediction with detail on how Devin White's spring and summer shape up along with the regular season?
I wish I had a little more confidence in Devin White. Maybe it's up to Bowles to unlock this guy a little bit more. Look, I'm not holding him to the standard of 9 sacks that he had a few years back. That's kind of unrealistic. But he does it very well, or he did do it very well. Came from various angles with his closing speed. Go with what White does best, and that's what a good coach does, and Bowles is a good coach. Contract year for White. He wants the big deal. He'll be motivated, but the run defense hasn't been very good the last season. It's going in the run direction, and I think White's part of that, and he's got to own up to it. So a little less time on social media, a little more time studying tape. I think Devin White's going to have an okay season, but I don't have that much confidence that he's going to return to the form that he flashed down the stretch in 2020 when he might have been the best player on the field in the entire postseason. I got a little bit of a sour taste about Devin White at this point. I think Bowles has to have a heart-to-heart with him. I don't blame Bowles in public for always showing total support for White. That's what a coach does. But behind closed doors, he's really got to bring out the best in Devin White. There's a lot more there, Steve, than he's shown.
Do you think, Ira, and this is me asking, do you think it's fair to say the loss of Tom Brady may be sort of most felt in how Devin White acts and proceeds in this season?
You mean that Brady's leadership kept him under control a little bit?
That's what I'm sort of implying. Like who's going to be that guy for Devin White? I understand he's friends with Lavonte David and there's a lot of respect there and David is there, but I don't know if that's going to work necessarily or if there's anybody else on the whole team that could, sit David down and say, hey, that kind of thing.
I think your point's well taken, Steve. And as much as you and I admire Lavonte David as a total professional and a guy whose Hall of Fame case might be heard, 10 years from now, I'm not sure that Lavonte David really has that kind of personality to really look Devin White in the eyes and say, you need to do better. I'm not sure Lavonte David's cut out to do that. I look at this whole defense, Steve, especially the D-line. Vita Vea is the veteran up there. I don't think he's the guy to bring White around. I don't see a lot of leadership, veteran leadership, on that side of the ball, Steve. I don't. Winfield's young. Davis, Dean. I don't see it, Steve. Whereas I think the offense has more veteran leadership in Evans, Ryan Jensen. So I think it's going to be a little bit of a problem because the best kind of pressure, Steve, is peer pressure. It's better if it comes from your teammates than your coaches. And I think they're a little short on that side.
All right, Sage, I had to ask, and I'm glad you mentioned Lavonte David and 10 years in the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Fame part of it, but it sort of ties to the next question. But I wanted to remind you, Sage, that there's a lot of corruption in the insurance business, a lot in the home insurance business. That's why you need Florida's Elite Restoration on your side. They're there for you 24/7. So you call them 24/7. You go to their website, have it in your phone, have it ready. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. They're local, family owned, licensed mold remediation specialists on top of everything else they do. And they'll get out to your property, give you a free evaluation, a free assessment, and work with you if you move forward with your insurance company to make sure you don't get ripped off. They've got all kinds of great testimonials out there. We know them as great folks. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. When you call, initially mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan, and if you end up using their services, making an agreement to do that, they'll give you $500 back for mentioning the podcast or Ira. Cash back because you're paying cash, or money for your deductible. Florida's Elite Restoration. BillCurryFord.com. And of course, with all that money you're saving, you could even upgrade at Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. When I mentioned Bill Curry Ford, I got to mention $500 back that Sean Sullivan gives you in a wonderful gift card when you buy a new vehicle through their concierge service. No deposit. So easy. BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, this one says, Ira, please tell us you won't retire because my week will suck without this podcast. Also, that means, Ira, if you retire, you can't present Levante David in 10 years. Also, do you think that there's any chance Jason Light's job rides on this season? You guys always talk about Todd Bowles in that way.
We do always talk about Todd Bowles in that way. I think Jason Light has earned the trust of the Glazers as a general manager. Now, Todd Bowles has not earned the trust of the Glazers as a head coach. That's just the way it is, and it's understandable. Having said that, it's got a little bit to prove in terms of the draft. We'll see how Cansey plays. I expect him to start. I expect Mark to start. But, you know, the last couple of drafts have not provided instantaneous contributors. Logan Hall and Joe Tryon, you know, they got things to prove. So the answer to me is no, Light is not in any kind of trouble with the Glazers as far as I'm concerned. Very nice to hear that you don't want me to retire. I'm really struggling with it. Been in this business a long time. Steve's telling me not to retire. Don't hang it up, Ira. Don't give up the Hall of Fame representation. I've had a good run. I certainly have had a good run. I think this is my 20th year as the Buck representative for the Hall of Fame. I don't know what's in the immediate future in terms of Semyon Rice. Of course, you got to be retired 5 years, so that takes care of Evans and Levante David for a while. And they both could play several more years, especially Evans. So we'll see. But I'm struggling with this retirement question, Steve. I am. I don't play golf. That's the natural, fallback position. You see me on a tennis court, Steve. Nothing to write home about. So I'm very happy with Joe Bucks fan. You guys treat me good. So for the immediate time being, I'm going to keep on keeping on, Steve.
All right, Ira, you're going to answer these questions. This one, I give you 20 seconds because I know you have to get out of here. All right, you ready? Sage, how is the wrist? Also, do you play pickleball? And what would it take for you to visit my tailgate?
The wrist is coming along. I'm about halfway through the cast procedure. It's coming off in about 2.5 weeks. Can't wait. Luckily, it's my left hand. I can take care of business. And by that, I mean, even going to the bathroom could be a struggle if it was my right hand. Pickleball, I'm interested in. I'm curious about it. My tennis players right behind them are all these pickleball players. They show up every day, 20 of them, 25 of them. They're having a ball. The games are quick, much quicker than the tennis. Just not sure it's nearly as good a workout, but I am going to try pickleball. I think I'd be decent at it once I learn the rules. And I got to find out what a kitchen is, Steve. Don't go in the kitchen. What was the last part of that, Steve?
What would it take to get you to visit my tailgate?
It would take a beet salad and a little kielbasa on the grill. That's all. Just give me the coordinates. I'll be there at about 10:55 for a 1 o'clock kickoff.
You know what? I'm going to save. Lee will be back on Friday. I'm going to save. I've got two questions that I think are important to save that you can give proper time to. But I'm going to give you this last one, and then we'll say goodbye, Ira, okay?
All right, buddy.
Last question. It's a good one, but I know you'll have a good answer, so we're going to end on this, and we're saving the questions on the trade deadline and another Tampa Bay media question for next time. All right, here we go. Do you think media and fans knew players better years ago when there were so many feature stories and player radio shows, or do you think fans know players better now because of social media and YouTube?
I like the old days, Steve. You know, I'm a traditionalist. You know, newspapers gave a lot more play than social media does today. You could take your time. You had a couple of days to flesh out a feature story on a player and talk about how they got to the point of being a professional. I don't see much of that today. You see it on team websites. They've got the resources to do it. They've got the time to do it. But I'm not sure how often fans go to team websites. They much prefer places like Joe Bucks Fan, where they can get instantaneous news from all corners and feel they're up to date. As far as just drilling down on players and getting you to know them behind the scenes as more than football players. I think we did that a lot better and more often when newspapers were flourishing. I just think we did a better job in that regard.
I'll agree with you, Ira, except now the players have a little more room for their own voice, you know, to put their own stuff out there, stuff that you never would have written about. So it's different, but I think overall there was a lot more out there on these guys. All right, Sage, we will see you later in the week.
All right, buddy.
This podcast popped early Saturday, and late today we have another one more comprehensive. Lee DeKemper is back. Sage and I and Lee, we dive deep into all kinds of subjects of the day. Plenty for you to listen to on your holiday weekend. And of course, we'll have more next week. Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, presenting all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com, billcurryford.com, and Florida's Elite Restoration for all your storm damage needs. And Big Storm Brewery, bigstormbrewery.com. Find your tap rooms and all the beers and spirits, bigstormbrewery.com.